Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are positively into a decent homestand. It could get better here at this point, but I don't know how it gets better. The only thing better than beating the Yankees 2-0 is beating them 1-0. Nothing is just fun to say when you beat the Yankees to nothing. Luke Jones joins us now after a, I used to say late nights. They're early nights now, right? Like 6:30, the games get over, nobody hits the ball, they all go home early, right? Like literally.
Yeah, well, I don't know if I'd say early nights, but earlier than they used to be. Let's say
a lot
that
earlier than they used to be
for someone who's there doing post game and all that. But yeah, I think this was the kind of game, and Brandon Hyde said it. Danny Coulomb, who picked up his third career save as the Orioles went, not even by committee, more just matchup driven. This felt like one of their wins that we saw last September, you know, when they weren't necessarily swinging the bats at a really high rate and their bullpen was without its closer. And Brandon Hyde played matchups, and Yennier Cano and a returning CNL Perez, and Danny Coulomb got the job done, backing up Grayson Rodriguez, who it was kind of a grind for him. Didn't have a lot of first pitch strikes, did not miss a lot of bats early in that game, but got the job done, pitched to contact effectively, and navigated what's been a tough Yankees lineup, especially the top half of that lineup, how good it's been. So very much to me felt like last September in the way that the Orioles won that game, which was good on the heels of losing two games against Oakland that, frankly, they shouldn't have lost, and all the concern about Craig Kimbrel, who is apparently feeling better but wasn't available on Monday night. But I'll disagree a little bit, though. Beating the Yankees 2-0, I'll take beating them 11-0 as being better than that. But hey, it was a close game. It was a well-pitched game on both sides. Very little offense for the Orioles. In fact, they needed Anthony Volpe to boot a ball in the eighth inning just to get that insurance run. But I mean, what can you say? When you shut out the opposition, especially a team like the New York Yankees, you pitched really, really well. And it was good to see the bullpen do that after a really rough stretch here of late.
You know, they shut them out, and you didn't have anything even glowing to say about Grayson Rodriguez. Not a lot of first pitch strikes.
But that's not true.
No. But what I would say about him is facing this lineup, you're going to be a little more particular, right? Like I think in general, and even though it's a scuffle and a struggle, and he left frustrated, you know, after the last at bat in the sixth inning, I think it's shut out. Like, he did everything you'd want to see him do in an October game. And that's where I look at it. And having gone down to Arlington with you, 6 months ago to say, where's the growth in all of this for a guy who was just trying to get to the big leagues this time last year, right? Like literally. And I also think when I see him, I see Messina. And so like he's bigger. But I just see this guy that he's rarely going to leave a game in the third or fourth inning, even when he doesn't. I mean, a day after they shut the Yankees out, we're like, well, he could have been better. It could have been better for him. And it could have been. You're right.
Yeah. My tone wasn't right there in how I was. I meant that as complimentary. You don't have your best stuff all the time. You're not necessarily going to command all of your pitches quite the way you want to. If you go back and look at it, I have the box score in front of me. He was behind 1-0 quite a bit. He also had some instances where he got ahead 0-2, 1-2, and worked, the opposition worked a full count. I meant that as a compliment to him. You're not going to have your most electric, amazing swing and miss stuff every single time out. And when you don't, when you can navigate that lineup and hold them to 5 2/3 scoreless in it, scoreless over 5 2/3 innings, it's really, really impressive. So that's what I meant by that more so. I mean, he only threw a first pitch strike on 11 of 25 hitters he faced. You're down 1-0 that frequently against that lineup. That's generally not going to go well. So I meant that as a compliment to him. I mean, he did not get his first whiff, his first swinging strike, until his 44th pitch of the night. That's really rare for Grayson Rodriguez. Now, I don't even necessarily think that it meant his stuff was bad. I'm not saying, velocity was fine, all of that, but certainly it's a challenge going up against that lineup. And we saw him obviously get the strikeout of Judge. We saw the battle that he had with Juan Soto. I mean, those are the at-bats within the context of the start, but also thinking about them in the big picture. That's what you love to see. And I think that really lends itself to the point you made. So I want to be clear. I wasn't saying that to be degrading of him. It was more so a case of this wasn't necessarily the night where he's going out there and getting 20 or 25 swinging strikes and dazzling you in that way, but he pitched. He pitched and he battled, and it was a grind at times. But when you do what he did, which was hold the Yankees to five hits and only had three strikeouts, that's on the lower side for him. Three walks. He didn't love that, but again, that's a team that will grind out at bats. So that was a compliment to him, and especially on the heels. And you just said it. He rarely gets knocked out early anymore. Well, he did get knocked out early in Anaheim last week. I mean, he did not pitch well in that game. Didn't make it out of the fifth inning, but he rebounded in the fashion that he did, knowing that the bullpen had its struggles over the weekend, had worked a lot on Sunday, didn't get deep into the game in the way that we traditionally think about deep into the game, but he gave the Orioles every chance to win on a night when, let's face it, other than Gunnar Henderson's leadoff home run, I mean, they did not have a hit from what Jordan Westberg's single in the second inning all the way until Adley Rutschman with his single in the eighth inning. So, Clark Schmidt and the Yankees really shut them down overall offensively. So you're going to have nights like that. Even if you're the best offense, the top run scoring offense in the American League, you're going to have some nights like that. So when you can have a night like that offensively and come away with a win, it just speaks to how good your starting pitcher was and how excellent the bullpen was backing them up. Where, Brandon Hyde said it, and I'll single him out specifically. Yennier Cano, what he did coming in seventh inning, getting the final out there, pitching an eighth inning, and then coming out for the ninth. So he had two sit downs as a reliever. Didn't throw a lot of pitches, so I was okay with Brandon Hyde doing that. And okay, he gave up a hit in the ninth inning, but you don't see relief appearances like that too often. That was, they kind of asked Cano to do almost what the things that Felix Bautista did last year. Not in the ninth inning, of course, but earlier in the game. So for him to navigate one and a third innings and appear in three different innings and do that and only throw 15 pitches in the process, that was pretty impressive. And Brandon Hyde said that's really what he thought won them the game late, considering it was 1-0 throughout until the Volpe error.
Well, the efficiency of the bullpen is important as well, right? I mean, just not taxing, not throwing pitches. You got to come back and play Thursday afternoon baseball too. So, like the Tuesday night game, the Wednesday night game, you come back on short rest no matter what. And I don't want to put too much on this because, but I will. These are really important games, man. Like when you start doing the math in August and we start magic numbering and we start how many ahead or how many behind, which is it is possible they could be in second place this year. It won't be behind the Red Sox and it won't be behind the Ray, this is the team that's coming to get them. And we've established this early on. We've now established that, by the end of the weekend, Bradish and Means will have some temperature on where they are as far as big league pitching. I mean, sound enough to go out there and throw the ball 95 miles an hour. So they're not injured anymore, either one of them. They wouldn't have made it to this point. So I'm not concerned. I'm concerned about a future injury, always with Bradish, right? Always with everybody that throws a baseball 95 miles an hour. But this is, they win one. Maybe they win another one. Maybe we're here on Thursday afternoon with a broom out or something. That's how the momentum for all of this thing really gets started. And no offense, dude, you can't do that against the Red Sox. You can't do that against the White Sox. You can't do that against the Astros, even at this point, right? This is a measurement. And I guess the Indians will be a 5-minute measurement when you see them. But there's some bad teams in the American League, brother. They really are. I mean, there's some teams that aren't coming to catch anybody.
I mean, the White Sox aren't catching anyone, although they did. Hey, they won three, right, recently after they had won three the entire season. I mean, it is still early. I think I'm going to continue to stress
This is
that.
like the hold on. This is like the Ravens playing the Chiefs in September. You want to see this game? You know what I mean?
You
Like, this
do.
is the one you're going to measure it against.
It is, but it's still a long way to go. I mean, we're still not. We're just getting to the 30 game
Listen to
mark.
me. I just did my 25th anniversary, Doc. I've waited my whole effing life to have a series in April with the Yankees where we might win. Like, dude, like, this is a.
They did win 101 game, 101 games last year.
Yeah, okay, that's last year. I mean, I've
they
sat
won
here for
96
30 years.
Games in 2014. I mean,
yeah, but you're
I
acting
you.
Like this happens Look, all the time. This is not. You're like this is.
No,
a
I'm acting like it's late April baseball.
I'm
just acting like it's late April baseball. We've got a long way to go. It's. I agree.
You're
it's
managing the team. Get excited about it. We waited a long time for this. I have
I too. I don't. What should I do? A cartwheel? Like, I've said it's a big series, but it's late April. I'm not going to sit here and act like this is mid-September. They played a big series was when they played the Rays in mid-September last year. That's all I'm saying. I'm not.
If you play these right, you won't have big series in September, I guess is my point with the Yankees. If you do a number on the Yankees, you won't have to worry about anybody else catching you.
Okay, fine. Agreed. If we're burying all the other teams in the AL East, which, you know, I was never a big believer in the Red Sox, but if we're burying Toronto and Tampa Bay already, okay. You know, I'm not ready to bury them yet, but they haven't been great so far, but they're also not 10 games under 500. The point I'm not trying to rain on your parade. It's late April. I'm sorry. I can't sit here with and say that these games are
I'm
massive.
Writing
they're
this
big.
On the internet right now. I was too excited about the Orioles this morning, and Luke said I didn't want to rain on your parade. Well, there isn't a parade yet.
Nestor, I've watched baseball my whole life. I can't sit here and say a series is massive in April. I'm just saying it's big for April, and I agree. And yes, they only play 13 as opposed to 19 times, so these games do mean more. But there's also a lot of baseball to navigate that isn't going to involve head-to-head with the Yankees that they're going to have to play really well. They're playing really well. They're 18-10. We're getting off track here, sparring over something
but,
that's done.
But how well they're playing isn't indicative of how they lost. They blew a couple of games over the weekend because their closer has an arm problem, right? Right. Like.
And meanwhile, everyone on the internet, you would have thought the Orioles were 10 games under 500.
I'm not that
about
fan.
That,
I'm not. And
but I'm just saying
this a long time. But I've also been at this long enough to know really you can downweigh the importance of the Yankees games. But I think these are the most important games they'll play all year. I mean, I know this
most likely.
Jim Palmer's in the box. And when you're shutting them out, frustrating the hell out of them, you can't get a hit and you're still winning. Their star players kicking a ball around in the eighth inning to open the door for insurance. You don't even have your closer. Your star didn't even have his stuff. And you won. And you wake up and you say, man, that's how it's got to go in October, too. I guess that's my – it felt to me like when they're in a 1-0 game in the seventh inning, dude, I've seen this script. I've seen this script with Ubaldo Jimenez and with Armando Benitez. And just down the line, I've seen the script where Tino Martinez hits a 2-run home run in the eighth. And, you know, and they lose. They've lost so many 1-0, hung in there for 6 innings and gave it the old try in the year they were going to win 64 games. This is a whole different dawning of a day. How many Yankees fans were there? Was it like boisterous in that way?
It was quite a few. I mean, the announced attendance was 23,000. I mean, I've been doing this so long, I'm not going to sit here and say what percentage because I wasn't sure. For one thing, there wasn't a whole lot to cheer about on either side, quite frankly, because there wasn't a whole lot of swinging bats. There was a nice contingency of Yankee fans. I'm not going to sit here and say there wasn't. Was it a takeover a la 2008? No, it wasn't like that either. Yankee fans are everywhere. They're like cockroaches, right? I mean, they're everywhere.
That's what I say. Yeah.
No matter where you go, what market, what city. I mean, they're everywhere. They're the Yankees. I mean, of course. Just like the Cowboys, even though the Cowboys haven't won in 3 decades.
What do you make of them, by the way? What is your thought on the Yankees in a general sense over the course of the season? They couldn't have praised Soto more, you know, last night on the broadcast.
Yeah.
And I mean, you see these guys get off the bus. They're big leaguers, you know. They had their down days, and they didn't win a lot of games last year. But they are to be feared. They are to be respected.
They're not to be feared. I'll disagree with that completely. Because the Orioles won 101 games last year. I mean, if you're asking me which team should fear the other, I'd say it's the other way around. That said, yes, I mean Juan Soto is an extraordinary generational talent. Same with Aaron Judge, who, albeit isn't off to a great start. So when you have a 1-2 punch in your lineup, you know, whether they're in second and third, whatever it is, I mean, it's extraordinary. It really is. Anthony Volpe, while he's cooled off a little bit from the hot start he had, error aside in the eighth inning, he's a good ball player. I mean, he's, you know, the Yankees, you know, the Yankees fans hope that he's their Gunnar Henderson, although he's got a ways to go because Gunnar
He's
is
no
just.
Jeter. He's no Jeter, let me tell
Right.
you.
And yeah, I mean, it'd be
Who is? Who
right. I was just going
is?
to say it'd be really unfair to compare. But where I still have some skepticism about the Yankees continuing to win at this clip is Anthony Rizzo and Giancarlo Stanton and some of the injuries they have on the pitching side. And, you know, the bottom half of that order, and I know Verdugo's on the paternity list, so, you know, they're missing another bat, but I still have some legit skepticism as far as some of these veteran players, some of these guys that have been injured over the last couple of years, whether they're going to hold up and be on the field and play productive baseball over 162 games. Now, that doesn't mean I think they're going to fall apart. Let's be very clear. I think your assessment of this most likely being the Orioles' toughest competition to win the division, I'll go along with that. Because, you know, some of the teams that we mentioned, even if I'm not ready to bury the Blue Jays or the Rays just yet, or throw the Red Sox in there, because the Red Sox have actually played pretty admirable baseball considering some of the injuries they've had as well. But it's still a team that, while it's very high priced, they're dealing with, you know, they're depending on a lot of veteran players who recent track record last year or two with injuries or lack of production is shaky, you know. So yeah, the Orioles have some concerns. We've talked about it with the bullpen. We'll continue to talk about the bullpen, regardless of how they did on Monday night. I'm not changing my tune on this. I've been consistent since spring training. I don't love this bullpen. And yeah, I really don't love it if Craig Kimbrel now is going to have physical concerns on top of just kind of being up and down Craig Kimbrel the last 4 or 5 years. But that said, you know, there's nothing for the Orioles to fear about the Yankees. And you didn't categorize it that way. You were just saying in a general sense, you know, bring it on. I mean, the Orioles were the best team in the AL East, best team in the American League last year for a reason. And yeah, that doesn't mean that anyone's going to roll over for them. It doesn't mean that they're guaranteed to win 101 or win 102 games this year. But you look at that lineup, at least 1 through 8 right now, you know, the ninth spot, whether it's Arias or Mateo or whoever on a given night, that's, you know, that we can talk about that if you want, but it's a heck of a lineup and it's a starting rotation. To your point, as you talked about Bradish and Means, about to add those guys back to the mix. Hopefully they stay healthy. Hopefully they look like healthy John Means and healthy Kyle Bradish, because if they do, then boy, your rotation looks that much better. And then the trickle-down effect could be, as we mentioned a couple days ago, it could be Albert Suarez maybe settling into the relief mix. And maybe he, with that arm that he showed as a starter, that velocity could tick up a couple more miles per hour even. So, you know, all of this is good. All of this, despite me trying to downplay a late April, early May series, you beat the Yankees 2-0 to open up a series and you increase your odds of winning a series and getting in first place, you know, as much as the standings right now don't mean a whole lot, but yeah, your point is well taken. If you play great baseball over the course of 6 months, but the Yankees also play great baseball over the course of 6 months, then yeah, these head-to-heads mean that much more. So
This is
you
a
don't
good
want to
week to
make.
play great baseball. This is a good
Yeah,
week to
of course.
try to figure out how to close games when you don't have your closer. It's a
Right.
great week to figure out whether Bradish and Means are going to be an is or a might be, or whether we need to go trade for pitching. Because last week we're trading for pitching, right? We're trading this guy, that guy. We traded Mountcastle for 3 years now. All he does is win. And Santander, pay him too much. Mullins, he was hurt. Whatever. You need him. Hayes is gone. He's evaporated now. He might be the guy who hits the double, the Delmon Young double that, you know, gets him into the World Series before it's all over with. So we
Sure.
bury these guys, we bring them back. Urias hits a bomb, then pops out with, you know, in the middle of the game with a terrible at bat. So it's give and take. The one thing I would say, to your point, with Soto and with, you know, the Yankees having generational guys in Judge and Soto, when the Orioles get off the bus later in the summer after having 101 games, and they're playing 682 ball, and they're coming into your city and it's 85 degrees, and they're getting off the bus. Rutschman, Henderson, Couser, you know, Santander and Mullins and these guys are the lighthearts now in the lineup. They're the guys that, you have to pitch to them because you have to pitch around everybody else. I mean, this could get messy in the summer heat when the ball goes up in the air because all these guys, launch angle, they all hit the ball hard. They all put the ball up in the air. I look, man, go watch my video, 40 years of doing this, whatever. I ain't never seen nothing like this team. And I say this to my wife every night. She's like, "Do you mean this?" And I'm like, I watch them every night and I say, there's no easy out. I always say the 78 Red Sox, and I just sort of kid around about that because Butch Hobson was batting ninth and hit 30 home runs or whatever that year. But it's that kind of lineup. The Tigers had that with Tettleton and Fielder and a whole bunch of guys. They had six or seven guys that could hit 20 home runs. This lineup might have eight.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing, at least through an Orioles lens, that comes to mind is 96 with all the home run power they had. But that was also a much more veteran-laden team. I mean,
Yeah, it
other
was
than.
rented too. It was rented. It wasn't
Oh,
here for long, you
but
know?
they're. But if you're just talking in isolation about a 1 year team, I mean, that's about the only thing that comes to mind. But that was much more veteran-laden. I think, I'd have to go look at the splits of September. But, you had. Eddie Murray was kind of sort of hanging on. And Eddie's one of my all-time favorite players, but Eddie was at the very end of his career.
I confuse all those years. Incuvilla, Zeal,
Yeah.
Geronimo Baroa, like those
Well,
were all bench guys
Baroa
that
was the
could.
following year.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So, but that was the team that they did have nine guys by the end of the year because they had added Todd Zeal. They had nine guys that hit 20 home runs that year. Now, they weren't all with the Orioles, but nine guys that had 20 home runs over the course of that season. So, but that's this team is, first of all the guys are homegrown other than Santander, who was a Rule 5 pick in the low minors, so might as well have been homegrown. And Ryan O'Hearn, who has been a reclamation project, it was someone that the Royals gave to the Orioles for cash. So it is much more organic, obviously. And the upside, I was just saying on a one-off, 96 is the only thing that comes to mind. And that team, pure power, sure. And Brady Anderson hitting 50 home runs certainly had a lot to do with that. But this team, I mean, when you look at where they are, I just spent, I was just talking about Soto and Judge. I mean, what Gunnar Henderson's doing right now is extraordinary. I mean, youngest player in baseball history to hit 10 home runs before May 1st. And I know that's kind of an arbitrary pick it out kind of stat, but it just speaks to the power he's hitting with right now. And I mean, this guy, Brandon Hyde said it after the game. He's 22 years old. It's scary how good he
Dude, he's
is,
going to have
how
90
good he's going to
RBIs
be.
at the All-Star break at this pace.
Yeah, I mean, he's not going to continue to have that many RBIs as a leadoff hitter, but it speaks to what he's doing right now. I mean, this is a guy who is looking more and more. And I think there were thoughts of this last year, but the fact that he's already better, this is a guy who's looking like he can hit 45 home runs. I mean, I would have felt silly saying that at this time last year when you consider how he was scuffling, but he's hitting left-handed pitching. He's hitting home runs off lefties even. So, what's the weakness? The weakness is he probably gets a little overzealous, with a throw or trying to take an extra base, something along those lines. Every once in a while, he'll have an at bat where he's a little overeager. If that's the worst you have to say about a 22-year-old ball player, I mean, that's extraordinary. That's exceptional. I mean, this isn't just looking like an MVP candidate. This is looking like he has a chance to be one of the three or four best players in baseball over the next 5 years. I
All
mean,
these
that's.
guys hit the ball for average too, right? Like, I mean, Mullins is down and Santander, but none of these guys are Dave Kingman. All of these guys, they're all going to hit doubles. They, for the most part, they all have incredible strike zone awareness and they'll take pitches and they'll walk. I mean, Calzer and O'Hearn get on base. I mean, dude, this lineup, you're blessed
Yeah.
to have your press pass, Luke, to be able to witness this every night. But I'm sitting here watching it with Jim Palmer and Ben McDonald at home, and I've just never seen anything like this. I really haven't, and I've been doing this a long time. And I could sit here in praise of this team all morning, all day, whatever. But I, and I don't know if they're going to win a World Series, but on a day-by-day basis, you don't want to play this team, especially if Bradish and Means come back and look 85% of what they used to look like. If they look both look like number three starters or number four starter, look like major league pitchers, this thing's going to be trouble for everybody, really.
Sure. That's why I kind of, you know, I playfully scoffed at you saying that the Yankees are to be feared. I swear why I say, I think everyone else looks at the Orioles and say, "Oh my gosh, we have to play them." Now,
If there's
again,
a team this team's going to see in October that I would take more, Texas, whatever, Cleveland, yeah, pick. You see the Yankees in October and these bats and that pitcher that they, you know, I don't know. I mean, about Cole, right? I mean, we talk about that all day. When you lose $40 million pitchers, you won't be seeing the Orioles in October if Corbin Burns' arm falls off either. It won't look as good. And but right now, the prosperity of bringing the other pitchers back is just, and it's only April 30th, right? Like we're not even into May yet. That would really. That would solve a lot of issues on let's trade Cobie Mayo for a box of four, number four, Ubaldo Jimenez, get another fourth starter here. I don't know about all that. I think Elias has been calm through all of this, and we have to weigh out the Kimbrel situation too. But this is baseball. But I love the way they're playing. They're fun to watch, man.
There's no question about that. I mean, I'm not going to move off of. They're going to need another bullpen arm, like a legit late inning bullpen arm. I will not change my mind on that. I can't fathom, unless there's two more Felix Bautistas ready to walk through the door, you know, swing through the bullpen door that no one knows about right now. You're going to need a high leverage bullpen arm, and you have more than enough minor league talent to go get that. Doesn't have to be tomorrow. Again, that's why the excitement of Monday night and seeing the fan reaction after. Again, some of what I was seeing, including people on my timeline who I know are good baseball fans and love the Orioles and have watched baseball a long time. I mean, it's just like, guys, got to calm down a little bit. I get it. Oakland, you know, the A's, they're going to Sacramento. They stink. All, it's still
Yeah,
baseball.
but these fans have not lost a big series in April and in a pennant, right? Like, and I don't.
But this team's been. I understand what you're saying, but at some point in time, we need to recognize this team has been at least pretty good
For 2
since we're
years,
going
yes.
almost 2 years since they've been pretty good. It was June of 22 when they really started turning the corner, and they've been great for over a year now. So
But
I
there can
hear.
be no skepticism of their greatness at this point. And I guess that's the disappointment when you have a lead and you bring in a closer and you think it should be automatic, and it's
The
not.
bullpen isn't great, though. You know, that's the area of the team that's not great. I'm not going to sit here and say the bullpen's great. It's not. So, and you know, it's not either. So the overall product, yeah, I mean, their offense has been great. Their pitching has been more average. Now, that's still a combination that's going to win you a ton of games, right? And that's evident by the fact that they're, you know, right up,
Winning a
they've
ton
been
of
playing
games.
close to 667 ball. You know, they've been hovering around that mark, give or take a game or two. So, that's evident that you can go very far with that. But yeah, their pitching's going to have to get better, and their bullpen's going to have to get better. And you hope that Bradish and Means are, you know, at least one of them. If at least one of those guys can look like themselves moving forward the rest of the season, then even that makes the rotation look that much better. And again, what's the trickle down effect for the bullpen? I think that can help. I think that can help the bullpen. And then you're in a position at some point, June, July, whatever it is. Go out and get that other arm to complement what you have out there, supplement what you have out there. You know, another, to me, it doesn't have to be a quote closer, but it needs to be someone that you feel can close games for you and pitch in the eighth and ninth inning. As I said to you going into the season, I kind of think the magic number for eighth and ninth inning guys on any given night, knowing that not everyone can pitch every single night, is you want four guys that you feel are locked down. Go back to the 2014 Orioles. They had Andrew Miller, Darren O'Day, Zach Britton, of course, and Brad Brock was really good at that point. You know, you had that as your top four in the pen. And, you know, I mean, they had a couple other guys that at times were really good, but that was a pretty locked down bullpen. You know, that was the strength of that team, other than
And the Royals
Machado and
were
Adam
better.
Jones and Chris Davis, I guess. Well, yeah. I mean, they're only one team's happy at the end.
Right.
But that's what you're looking for. You, if there's one thing about the Buck era Orioles, you know, 10 years ago, they did have a better bullpen than what this bullpen is right now. But hey, that's not to say that it's not going to get better. And, you know, we'll see. Maybe it's Albert Suarez. Maybe it's when Tyler Wells comes back and he moves back into a bullpen role. And like I said, they have the pieces at AAA just sitting there. Heston Kjerstad called up a week ago. Since his first start, he has one plate appearance. And I'm not even saying that to bash Brandon Hyde, because who are you going to sit? I mean, okay, you could sit Santander for a game. You're not going to bench him. You're not going to bench Ryan O'Hearn. You're not going to bench Mountcastle if he's the DH that night. So, it speaks to the logjam at AAA right now. Use a little bit of that to go get a high leverage bullpen arm. And it doesn't have to be tomorrow, but at some point here in the coming weeks, as we get closer to the trade deadline, which is still far out, that to me continues to be the no-brainer piece or two that Mike Elias needs to acquire to fortify this thing. But Monday night, CNL Perez, Yennier Cano, Danny Coulomb, hats off to them. They did a heck of a job backing up Grayson Rodriguez and what was an outstanding pitching effort on that rare night where the Orioles, lead the AL in runs scored going into the game, but they did not swing the bats very well. So you come away with a win when your biggest strength isn't really a strength that night. That's the mark of a really good team, and that's where the Orioles deserve credit. And always great to start off a big four-game set, even if it is late April. I'll keep throwing that out there with a win in the opener. How about that?
That is a wrap on the recap, or a recap of the wrap of Monday night. The Orioles had a shutout victory and back at Camden Yards for the next couple of days, and then off to Cincinnati this weekend. So we'll continue to discuss baseball as well as football. We got a bunch of Ravens draft stuff. I caught up with Dennis on Monday. Great, great conversations this week about horse racing, the future of horse racing, the future of Pimlico and Preakness. It is Kentucky Derby week. It's such a great week that Dick Girardi is going to join me this week. My first workmate at Sports First 40 years ago, 40 summers ago, I was at Sports First. So make sure you're checking out our 25th anniversary documentary. The Maryland Crab Cake Tour gets back out on the road with our friends at the Maryland Lottery. I'll have the Pac-Man scratch-offs to give away next Friday as we get back to Oriole Park at Camden Yards. We're going to be at Fadley's every Friday when the Orioles are at home from 2 until 5. Stop by, say hello. Tharu Vignaraj is on the air this week. Lots of folks running for office over the next 2 weeks. Highly encourage everybody to vote and vote responsibly. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We never stop talking Baltimore positive.